Hello and welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro, and this is episode number 78 with the title, Interview with an Ironman. I had the great opportunity recently to have a discussion with Clem Naples, who completed his first Ironman triathlon this year in August at the Mont Tremblant event in Quebec. And this guy has so much wisdom, and he shared with me many of his experiences in training and racing, as well as just wonderful insights into health and life and fitness and balance. And this show is just full of pearls that I don't think you're going to want to miss. And since you know that the Lifetime Body is not only where science meets common sense, it's where you can make your body last a lifetime and achieve peak performance at any age, this is a show about a peak performer who really does crush it. So thank you for joining us, and sit tight for just a great show that's rich with pearls of wellness and peak performance wisdom. So here we are, another episode, another exciting episode of the Lifetime Body Podcast. And like I alluded to in the intro, this one is really special for me because I get the opportunity to introduce an Ironman. And that guy's name, Clem Naples, he's here with me today. And Clem, welcome, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm looking forward to it.
So an interview with an Ironman is really better than that cheesy movie Interview with a Vampire starring Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt.
Agreed.
I'd also say that there's a great Tony Stark line, which he says to Pepper, "The truth is, I am Iron Man." And you could say that to your wife, but then she might say, "Who's Pepper?"
Yes. Yeah, I don't get too much mileage out of the Ironman at home, but I get a lot out of it with you, so I'm looking forward to this meeting.
And ultimately, every day when you're brushing your teeth or shaving, you could look in the mirror and you could say, "I am Iron Man."
I could.
You could. It sounds like maybe you haven't gotten to that level yet, but maybe I'm doing it for you. So one of the exciting things about this show today, you know, we finally got around to coming back and reflecting and talking about your Ironman training and racing experience of this year. And it's quite fitting because today is Friday, October 11th, and tomorrow, the first Saturday after the first full moon in October, that's Kona time, the Ironman World Championships. And so really, it's no better time to have this interview with an Ironman than today.
Yeah, no, I know. And one of the things I read before I decided to go on this crazy journey was Iron War. Have you ever read that?
No.
It's the story. It's the 89 Ironman Championship.
Oh, sure. Mark Allen, right? And Dave Scott.
Dave Scott. Yeah. Actually, a great book. Yeah. Good stuff. But yeah, that was, you know, I'm looking forward to watching the championships on TV.
Yeah, I think those epic Mark and Dave battles back in the day were really exciting. In fact, the overall race times have come down sub 8 hours now, you know, in several races. But, those guys were running sub 240 marathons coming off the bike. And, that's still a marker out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys were unbelievable. I just read an article, and I think it was Dave Scott who was saying he thought his secret weapon was figs. He would eat figs. And then he realized, you know, he was tearing himself up because there was so much fiber in figs. He had no idea. You know, the nutrition has come such a long way, but it's funny to read those stories. And it's just amazing that, you know, what those guys did then on the bikes they had and the nutrition they had.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Mark was known as the Grip, and Dave was known as the Man. And, they were certainly idols. To some extent, although Dave screwed me up quite a bit because I followed a lot of what he did, and he really got me into a vegan diet and eating lots of rice cakes and some figs as well, and my health and my performance suffered a little bit. He's since come around to change what he's talking about dietarily, and even with his training, he's even had some cardiac issues himself. But it's nice to have everybody come full circle, and we can learn and grow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other thing about those guys is the amount they trained. And I know we're going to talk about it later, but, you know, what struck me when you started training me was I was doing, you know, more volume than I'd ever done in my life. But you know, on some days you just said, you know, we're taking it down for a couple days, you know, in a row sometimes, you know, we're taking it down, you know, to some pretty low levels, at least I thought, you know, getting ready for an Ironman. And, you know, now looking back, you know, thank God you were there to do that. But the volume that those guys did was pretty astonishing.
Yeah. And actually that's a nice, you know, kind of an intro, you know, to talk about, you know, the really the art and science of training any of us. You know, it's certainly a balance there and a learning experience that should be ongoing. So, you know, hats off to those guys. And, you know, I'm certainly really glad for your interest and willingness to be on today's show. And I guess we'll start out by getting into that. And, you know, I'll just let the audience know, you know, we found each other a few months ago back in, I believe it was early May of this year. And, you know, you kind of assigned me the task of assisting you and in your journey and living vicariously, which I was happy to do. So let's talk about your sporting interests. What's your background in sports or fitness training from high school to now?
Sure. So I swam in high school, you know, did a little bit of track, but swimming was my primary sport. I was, you know, decent and got in pretty good shape. And just really enjoyed it. Swam a little bit in college and then, you know, just kind of stopped. You know, hit the gym pretty regularly, maybe ran a little bit and, you know, then started working, got married, had kids and, you know, tried to stay in general shape, but was really, you know, just kind of doing that, just kind of staying in shape. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, my brother introduced me to cycling. He's a very strong cyclist and, you know, he's like, hey, you should try this out. So went out and got a bike, and, you know, followed him around for a while, cause he's always ahead of me. And then he's got me into running. And over the past maybe 3 or 4 years, you know, we probably were doing, I don't know, four half marathons or so a year, you know, just, you know, having a nice run. And, you know, with the biking and the running and the swimming, I kind of always had triathlon in my mind. I think the first time I did a sprint was maybe three years ago or so. And then kind of, I don't know, just, you know, it was kind of always in the back of my mind, started running more. And then something made me in May decide to sign up for the Tremblant Ironman. And hard to say what it was, but it just seemed, you know, my running was getting a little bit better and I was just looking for another challenge. And, you know, looking back, probably bit off more than I should have at the time, but, you know, really glad that I did, because, you know, don't forget, you know, yes, you trained me for the Ironman we did in Tremblant, but, you know, between that we did the Olympic, right? We had the half marathon in the middle there. And then we did the full. So, you know, a lot of first time things for me since May with your help. Thank you very much.
Well, and back at you, you know, it's there's a bit of a bromance going on here, but really though, I think that's a great story. It's not too uncommon, you know, when people talk about, oh, you know, I played, you know, various sports as a kid and through high school or college, and then, you know, the things of life begin to happen and then you start to get, you know, the bug again. And, you know, some people are like you indicated, a bit more gradual in that process, but not everyone. And also there's a way to make that work and you did. So I would, you know, I'd say because, you know, you were, you know, like a voracious consumer of information, you were able to be safe and successful. So that's kind of cool. Over all that time, have you sustained any injuries to your lifetime body that you had to work around as you were preparing for the Ironman?
So, you know, during training, you know, so we'll talk maybe a little bit about a couple of things that happened during training, but before, I don't know if you remember, but I was kind of coming off of an injury to my back. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, you figured out probably my gluteus minimus, but, you know, I was in pretty rough shape for a while, feeling a little bit better, you know, getting back into the running. you know, back in early part of last year. But when we first connected, I was still kind of nursing that injury. And your supplemental conditioning program, you know, we had a long talk and I kind of walked you through everything. And I had been, you know, this is for your listeners out there. I had been to, you know, an orthopedic and went to PT and, you know, it was getting better, but it wasn't getting better, you know, kind of fast enough. And I wasn't feeling like I was really targeting it well. And, you know, we spent probably one of our sessions just talking about that. And then you put together the supplemental conditioning program for me that, you know, kind of hit everything, but had that real strong focus on my back and kind of that posterior chain. So I got a new vocabulary from doing this too. And, you know, within a few weeks, you know, I probably felt I was doing more volume than I'd done previously, but felt actually much better than I had. So that was the first injury that you really had nothing to do with, but fixed. What else? My feet. I don't know if you remember, I was having some problems on the bike and, I had gone to the bike shop and they said, oh, your shoes are too tight. Or, what was the other one? You had to move your seat or something else. And then I hopped on the phone with you. It was a Sunday. I remember it because I had a long bike ride coming up. And I said, John, you know, I don't know what's going on. My feet are getting numb. And I kind of explained it to him. He said, you know what you need to do is go buy these little pads and stick them under your foot in the middle. Mm-hmm. And what was it? Metatarsalgia or something like that?
Metatarsalgia, that? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And that fixed it, you know? So that, what was the other issue that I had? Oh. When the volume on the run started to get higher, you know, 16, 18, 20 miles, I had that one long run and my IT band really seized up on my right leg. And, you know, by that time we had been working together for a while. So you probably had a good sense of, you know, kind of where my strengths and weaknesses were. And you're like, you know, I don't think it's, you know, a muscle thing, you know, like a weakness thing. I think you're running on a road that's too canted. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I said, okay, that makes sense to me. And, you know, we let that rest for a couple days. I think you gave me an extra day off. Actually, you had me swim for a day or two. And then the next, so that was, I remember it was a 16 mile run. And then I had a 20 coming up, and for the 20, I took a totally different route, very flat and had zero pain. So, you know, look, no injuries and, you know, 47 now. So again, that's a pretty big deal to get through, you know, all that training with, you know, other than some minor hiccups, you know, really nothing.
That's outstanding. And I think it's fun to dance that dance. And, you know, things do come up. They're just going to, you know, even go into the mailbox, honestly. But that's really like, you know, just a fun opportunity, like in our relationship. And then when sometimes when I'm working with other folks as well, it's like, okay, let's really try to figure out, well, you know, what's the root cause and what's the simple intervention. Most of the time, you know, if we're thinking hard, we can hit that. And so that's, you know, a great testament to those types of approaches. So this is like a deep philosophical query for you. You know, the Ironman, even for the fast people, it's an all-day endeavor. Just what led you to want to go that long?
So, you know, when I signed up, I didn't really know what that long meant, which, like I said, that was probably a very, very helpful thing, because after the half Ironman, I was like, wow, this is long. You know, I think, you know, you do get, like I said, I was running more, and, biking more, and just, you know, it was a kind of a period of time in my work where usually I'm incredibly busy for, you know, kind of all the time. And I had a little bit of a lull. And I thought, you know, this is something I've kind of wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, you watch Kona on TV every few years. And I was like, wow, I'd love to be able to do that. And I, you know, it was just, I think you get to the point sometimes where you're like, look, I'm either going to do this now or I'm not going to be able to do it. So I saw this window and, you know, decided if you're going to do it, let's give it a shot and see what happens. So, I mean, I guess your question was what made you want to go that long? And I didn't know how long it was, which is, until I finished it. but it was great. And I know we're going to talk more about that, but yeah.
Well, plus Iron Man is such a cool thing to say. I am Iron Man, as you'll keep yes. doing now from this, but you know, getting into the nuts and bolts of your training, you know, we had some fun, you know, in designing a flexible program and then tweaking it day to day, week to week. And so one of the things that we knew was with your swim background, we could be a little soft on the swim training because it was a strength, relatively speaking, and we could put more of the emphasis into cycling in particular, and to some extent running. You know, the triathlon's about 60% cycling, so obviously biasing training to be a high volume in cycling is intelligent, or you know, it's just a wise move. And then with running, obviously we want to make make you to be able to come off the bike and maybe not run a 240 marathon like Dave and Mark we were talking about earlier, but you know, to be able to run strong and finish. But the challenge with running training is the body's connective tissues absorb it a little more slowly. It takes a little more time. So we have to be careful working around potential injuries. And so that was kind of what was in my mind. It's like, okay, I've got this guy who's healthy, he's fit, he's motivated. He's got a lot of good things going, but how do I, give you advice to not screw you up? And and there should be a lot of pressure, you know, that I should feel and, you know, take that seriously. Looking basically, what is or was your favorite thing about triathlon training?
One of the most fun things was looking ahead at the calendar that you laid out for me, mm-hmm. and in reading what the next training session was going to be. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes there'd be something called grinders. And I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I'm sure it's going to hurt. And then I'd see something like power wog. And I'm like, that sounds pretty easy. And then I'd finish it and, you know, be in pieces afterwards. So that was a lot of fun. One thing you did was keep the training interesting, but definitely not, you know, overly complex, right? Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I could plug into these workouts. They were varied, but kind of not like I didn't have to overthink them. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of fun. The other thing that was really fun for me, and it was kind of like after doing the training for a while, you know, you start to see some results. And, you know, some of this training for me was really new. You know, I'd never done a run, you know, for 3 hours in, you know, zone two, for instance. You're just doing things that you've never done before. But then, you know, I go to the Olympic or the half and you'd say, wow, you know, I just had reserves that I just didn't have before. So that was a lot of fun, just kind of the whole adventure and discovery process mm-hmm. doing it. The structure I also really enjoyed. You know, like I mentioned before, you have this supplemental conditioning program for me that was really tailored to, you know, what you thought and what I eventually, you know, realized I definitely needed from a strength perspective. So I'm not on the bike, I'm not in the water, I'm not running, I'm doing something in the gym on the mat, some stretching, some weightlifting. So I just, that was kind of a real nice thing to have during the week. Sometimes it was twice, sometimes it was usually at least twice. But I really like that. So, first of all, just having you as a coach, not to get into the bromance thing, but I did this, you know, from the training perspective, basically alone. Like I would always, for the most part, train, run, run, bike, swim by myself. If I get somebody to do it with me, I would. But having somebody there every week who, you know, would kind of look at the data, you know, talk to me about how things were going, you know, reorient things, if I had a bike problem, whatever it was. It was just a great experience to kind of go through that discovery process with someone who knew what they were doing, and, you know, have a lot of fun. And the last thing I'll say, and I'm probably talking too much here, is, I realized, and it's really struck me, when I was heading up to Tremblant, I'd never done anything like that before, right? I'd never tried to run a marathon after riding the bike 100 miles. And I, you know, in some ways wasn't sure I could do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that's kind of a cool feeling because you don't have that feeling very much in your life where you're like, I'm going to try something that I don't know if I can accomplish. So I really kind of liked that part of you know, this adventure of just like taking on something big, having the support, having the positive energy to try and do something that, look, you may fail at this, but you may not. So it was really, it's just, you know, overall of an absolutely terrific experience.
Wow. Lots of things I, you know, just would agree with. You know, I don't think I need to say more myself, but what was the one thing that you found most challenging in your training, your preparation, a type of workout, or just, you know, some other factor that that you could share?
Yeah. So I'd say time, you know, time for the really long training, you know, especially on the bike, because it was easily, you know, the thing that I had to do the most work on. So, you know, some Saturdays or Sundays would roll around and, you know, I'd have on the calendar, you know, 200-mile ride, and that would take me a long time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I'd be out for a while and, you know, that's a lot of time away from the family, on the weekend. So it's a huge commitment, obviously. And I'd say that was the most challenging, because the rest of it, it's the kind of challenge that anybody who wants to do something like this is probably looking for. Do you know what I mean? Like you're looking for somebody to tell you to go and, you know, run this far and swim this far and at this intensity, because you probably like doing that already at some level. Mm-hmm. So the challenging part is really, to me, you know, managing the time demands for, you know, for something like this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come back to that juggling act again, because I think it's worth delving into a bit deeper. But, you know, since we're kind of in that nuts and bolts, you know, definitely got some great perspectives on training. I'd also like to talk about the unique dietary considerations of an Ironman, and, you know, of one Ironman, you in this case. And so we've got two areas. We'll do them one at a time so I don't complicate things for the listeners. But just feeding throughout the day, you know, what was your experience in trying to get enough food, get enough calories in your meal that you could, you know, do your workouts and recover and get up the next day and repeat?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question, because it's one I asked you halfway through. And I think your advice was eat as much as you can without gaining too much weight. And I was like, okay, no, but we obviously had a lot of discussions about this. And I think, you know, another good thing was you seem to, you know, figure out what worked for me and what I liked. And then we, you know, that was generally fine. I think generally my philosophy for this process was just eat quality foods. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd eat beef, chicken, fish, vegetables, you know, yogurt, coffee. There's really nothing that I don't eat, other than, you know, I didn't really do much fried foods, that kind of stuff. I stayed away from, you know, processed foods, you know, potato chips, kind of the junk food stuff, that I didn't eat. But, you know, one thing that we added early, which I think was incredibly helpful, was after every workout, I'd have the whey protein isolate and collagen peptides. And, you know, I don't know if it was psychological or not, but that's something I started back in, you know, right away, basically. I think like the first week we started that. And, you know, then afterwards, you know, we jumped right into it pretty much. Right. But my recoveries seemed to really be pretty quick, you know, and it felt quicker than it normally would. Like if I ran a half marathon, I might, you know, be a little creaky the next day. But, you know, we started getting into the training and I was doing, you know, far farther than that. And, you know, the next day I'd get up and everything would feel pretty good. So, yeah, for me, it was, you know, definitely, I think that kind of a cornerstone of getting that protein, in there. And then, you know, throughout the day, just, you know, trying to eat quality food, you know, not under eat really. I think, that's what I was trying to avoid, just given how much we were doing.
Yeah. And that's been, I think it's well supported by, the research. And it's also been my experience that, you know, if we just do some simple things, you know, like get, as much as we can, you know, get the processed food, the junk food off the table, because it lacks nutrient density, first of all, and, you know, you have such a high need for, nutrition and calories. So, you know, that's, you know, when you're training for an Ironman and other, you know, athletic endeavors as well, we want to make sure that a person doesn't underfeed. And so, as long as you're staying weight stable and your body composition was good, you know, we want you to eat as much as you want, can, that kind of thing. And I think it was also fortuitous that we were using the collagen and protein supplementation a little bit. I mean, technically those are processed foods, but when we want to, you know, kind of get that post-exercise bolus in, and maybe the meal's not ready yet, and what we know about muscle protein synthesis and tissue repair, you know, that became, you know, quite valuable for you. So that's cool stuff. And I think there's some great take-home messages. Just, hey, folks, keep it simple. Eat really good foods and enough of them. And I really appreciate your reflecting on that. But now if we look differently, let's look at fueling. I mean, whether you want to say this not synonymous with feeding or it is, fueling and training, the longer workouts and races, what did you find worked for you, for your digestion, for your gut health, for your energy? How did you make that a success?
Yeah. So that I think it changed a bit throughout the process. One, I think I got more comfortable, you know, eating more as I was training. Right. But you know, in the beginning, if I was going to have a, I think maybe for the Olympic, I probably did, you know, Gatorade type stuff on the bike and goose, right? Mm-hmm. And that was probably, you know, in water. And, you know, when I started going those longer distances, at least, you know, for me personally, I didn't like the sugar. I didn't, I think the sugar was, it just made my, it gave me a little bit of a headache. I didn't really like it. So I started exploring, and we talked about this, you know, in a number of sessions, where I kind of, maybe to fast forward to where I got to in the Ironman was, you know, on the bike in the bottles, I had Ucan, right? It's that slower burning, carbohydrate, which I liked, didn't give me a headache. And I really wasn't drinking, you know, too much just straight water because, you know, I wanted the, some kind of an electrolyte. So I had these noon tablets, which I really liked. And then I would eat at every, let me kind of walk you through what I did on the, at the Ironman, and you'll get a sense. So I know you know this already, but so I came off the swim, and just kind of wanted to get something substantial into me for the bike. And I had a Clif Bar, pretty easy to digest. I'd had it on the road, on the bike before, and, you know, I was okay with it. And then on the bike, I would have a half a banana basically at every aid station. So that was a switch for me because usually I'd be, you know, hitting the goose and not eating kind of the regular food like a banana. But I basically, you know, was primarily eating bananas and having the noon tablets and Ucan if I felt like I needed it on the bike. Towards the end of the bike, I had a couple goos, you know, no caffeine, just the just regular goos, electrolytes, you know, carbohydrates and stuff like that. When I got to the run, I had some salt tablets with me. Didn't do a lot of those, but, you know, over the course of all the training and our discussions about sodium, you know, I started to really appreciate how you know, that can really help. So I had some salt tablets and was then I kind of switched over to the goos more because they're a little bit easier to digest. And I had success with those in prior races and they never really upset my stomach. For that, you know, the first half, second half, I had a little, had a little handful of pretzels just cause I was like, I need something else. And, they were doing chicken broth, you know, at the last maybe 10 miles or so. And man, I'll tell you, that is like the best thing in the universe, right? After running, you know, 15 miles or so to have a little cup of hot chicken broth. But yeah, that was really it. You know, so like noon tablets, goos, bananas, some pretzels, salt tablets, and the Clif Bar. That was it. Yeah, you know, my migration. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, please. Your migration was where you left off.
Yeah, the migration was really from kind of, you know, the Gatorade type stuff or straight water and the goos to, you know, the Clif Bar, which was oats, the bananas on the bike. Stick with the goos because they worked for me, but And I found the UCAN was better for me personally than you know, the kind of the Gatorade type type drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, that's exciting to talk about that, because I think if we go back to, say, your regular diet, it wasn't necessarily a super high carb diet. You know, it was a fairly balanced diet, whether that's popular or not, but you know, you were eating a fair amount of healthy fats and proteins. So, you know, you weren't the most, what we'd call carbohydrate dependent or sugar burning beast out there. So then one of the secrets or tricks is on, especially long workouts or these races, then you can trickle in the carbs. And of course, while you're exercising, you know, you really don't have, you know, those health detriments that a chronic high carb diet will do. Your muscles will take it up rapidly and use it as fuel. So really a nice strategic work there. And that UCAN that you're mentioning, that's a long chain starch polymer that, you know, again, it's a little easier on the digestion and energy, you know, tends to not have as big of a blood sugar response for most athletes. And I love that emphasis too, as you know, on the electrolytes and the sodium. Just a lot of good pearls there, I think, for most people. Sure, we do need to hydrate, but we need to make sure that we're also maintaining a fuel to some extent, and also this electrolyte balance, which keeps things functioning. So nice work on that. And I can't tell you how many times either I myself or many of my clients have, you know, when you meet up with a mug of hot broth, it's life altering.
Oh man. Oh yeah. It's like you feel like you're just at a Thanksgiving dinner. You're just like so happy.
Oh yeah. It's a strange thing. But a good thing. So, that's great already, because what I wanted to ask next was talk about your race experience. And so you've kind of talked about, you know, the fueling strategy that you use. So that kind of sets up nicely. Okay. Tell us any way you want. You know, this could be brief or lengthy, but okay, you're there. You know, you're what you do for warm up. Okay, how'd the swim go? T1, big thing about the bike, T2, and then, you know, that, you know, bringing that run home. Anything you want to offer, I'd love to hear.
Sure. So you know, first let me just take folks who have never been to Tremblant. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's like, it's my first Ironman, but I'd have a hard time thinking there's a better place to do one. The volunteers are absolutely amazing. They are incredibly helpful. They, you know, kind of pull out all the stops for the athletes there. It's a beautiful place to swim, run, bike. It was just, what a terrific location to get to do one of these things. So if anybody ever has the opportunity to get there and do one, absolutely recommend it. You know, you get up very early. I forget what time I got up, probably like 4 o'clock or something like that. We stayed at the mountain, so I was close enough that I didn't have to, you know, get up earlier than that. Mm-hmm. And for breakfast, I had some peanut butter, you know, some toast, a little bit of oatmeal, a banana, and some coffee, and not too much more. I think I might have had a little bit of an egg, but you know, not a ton. So jumping ahead to the swim, the way they set it up is there's kind of gates, and you can go in six at a time. And then you kind of self select where you're going to go based on your expected time. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know, you know, how fast I could swim, you know, 2.4 miles in a lake with a bunch of other people. I'd done it in the pool before. And so I put myself, I don't know, like in the 135 or 140 area. And then you kind of shuffle along and you jump in. And it was really cool to just kind of look at all the faces around you, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody has their own kind of look. You know, you can see some people are incredibly nervous. Some people are, I think everybody's probably nervous, but you know, some people have this real intense look. Other people are just taking it all in. But you know, it's a lot of anticipation in that line, and it's kind of neat. So jump in the water, and beautiful lake, clean, clear, cool water. Start swimming out, and there's, you know, a lot of people, and you know, people are swimming over each other. But you know, generally, you know, nobody's too crazy. And I'm maybe like, I don't know, probably a mile and a quarter in, and I'm actually feeling pretty good. And you know, like my arms feel good, my shoulders feel good. And I'm like, huh, you know, that training John had me do is kind of paying off here, right? So I picked it up a little bit. And I think I ended up coming in, it was like 120 or something like that. So kind of way faster than I thought I would go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, and we talked about this early on, you know, I was really interested in being able to do this event, you know, without, you know, kind of feeling strong throughout, you know, not breaking down, not really just kind of getting through it, but really like having an experience and feeling strong throughout. So anyway, great swim, felt good, went faster than I thought. T1 probably took a little bit longer than I wanted it to, but you know, I was kind of taking it all in. They've got people who will take your wetsuits off for you. So you come out, you lay down, and they just tear them all off and into you. Again, terrific volunteers. Get to T1, your bag's ready for you. You know, more helpful volunteers. Get ready, you know, throw some goos in, you know, whatever you need that you don't already have on your bike, and you're off. They shut down the highways, which is terrific, and it's a beautiful ride. And you know, biking was the one area where I had kind of the least feel for how hard I could go, how hard I should go. I really didn't want to blow up on it, so we kind of stayed to, you know, a target for power. You know, tried not to go over it too much. It's a two loop ride, and at the end of each loop there is a pretty substantial climb that you got to go up. So, you know, I kind of tried to not blow up on the climb. Looking back, I think I probably could have gone harder throughout the bike, you know, given how I felt at the end, but it was a good, you know, a good solid ride, felt comfortable, and you know, had a good experience on the bike, no problems. And that's a real testament to the work we did, because in the beginning, you know, I'd never even ridden 100 miles before, right? That was a new distance for me that we did during the training. The run, so I get off, and you know, things are feeling surprisingly okay, and that's another two loop thing. And you run out of town, and then you run along, I think it's an old rails to trails path. So there's a lake on the side, beautiful run, lots of volunteers, again, helpful people, you know, making sure you get what you need, and, you know, just kind of keeping you going. And after the first half marathon, I come in and I'm thinking to myself, man, I got to do another one of these because, you know, you're starting to, you know, feel it. But again, you know, all the work we did on my back, you know, that whole, just all that, it never once during the run did I ever feel like anything was breaking down, mm-hmm. right? Which was pretty remarkable, because even before this, I'd never done a marathon before. I think the longest run, you know, we did during training was about 20 miles. We never went more than 20. So this was my first marathon. So I think I might've been about 20 miles in, and this guy, comes running up next to me, and I could tell he was a good runner. He just had, you know, that runner's form, and you just see people and you're like, you know what you're doing, you're strong. Mm-hmm. And we started chatting, and he was a terrible swimmer, which is why he was behind me, but he had caught up with me. So we kind of started running together, and, you know, I think we naturally just started to pick up the pace because we were running together, and we ended up running in together, you know, basically for the last 5 or 6 miles. But what struck me again was, you know, and it was great to have somebody to run with, you know, that's a nice thing that happens during these races where you kind of meet up with people, whatever you're doing on the bike or on the run, and you kind of run for a little while. But, you know, he was definitely a much stronger runner than me, but you know, I was like keeping up with him, and we were keeping each other going. And, you know, I was just struck because I, you know, say, okay, legs, we're going to go a little bit faster here. And they were there, you know, I wasn't shot, I wasn't exhausted, I wasn't falling apart. And again, it really comes back to, all that training that we did. And I think really that supplemental conditioning program you had me on just, you know, made a world of difference. I mean, I had never been able to to run or bike the way I did at the Ironman in any way close to, you know, like that before. So, I mean, I guess that's the brief play by play, but probably longer than brief.
I thought it was outstanding. Thanks for providing that. So, you know, I'll just try to respond. You know, that some of the things that you mentioned, you know, there's that experience, you know, where you're, you know, you're taking it in and you're seeing, you know, people at, you know, different, different places in their minds and all that. And then you're out there and you're kind of exploring, you know, your preparation and reflecting back on like the, some of the things we did in conditioning. And really, yeah, that's what it's all about. It's like, okay, take an athlete and figure out, you know, what they need or what you need. That's what we did from an energy systems perspective. What's your training history? What are some of your body attributes? And then we design both the run, bike, swim training to, you know, address those things and progress you along, but also that supplemental stuff keeps your body shored up so that you can do the training and absorb it, not have the breakdown. So kind of a cool, you know, testament to that. And I certainly appreciate the way you described it, although I didn't, you know, try to coax that out of you by any means. And I also love that, you know, sure, you know, you're out there and on one level, okay, you know, this is the first time, but we decided early, hey, let's not just survive it. You know, let's be strong. And you were. And so, you know, you raced it and you were competitive, but at the very same time, you know, you end up having like a memorable relationship, you know, with another, you know, fellow athlete. And that's cool stuff. You know, these are big life events, and it's really great of you to, you know, kind of share that. And I got a good feel for it. It's very inspiring to me. I'm sure the listeners did as well. So I want to come back to that life balance, the juggling act. And, you know, you don't have to say too much, but, you know, you mentioned time as, you know, it's just sometimes it's hard to find the time, especially for the longer things. And so how does, you know, family and career and sleep, you know, factor into workouts and meals and everything else?
Yeah, we'll pick two, right?
Yeah.
Not three. You get two. So I think anybody who wants to do this, you know, with a family should, you know, make sure they've got enough time to do it. I need a lot of sleep, you know, so it would be you know, a lot of times I was up at, you know, 5 a.m., that's for sure, getting my workouts in. But I think if I probably had to get up at 4, you know, me personally, that it would have been counterproductive, you know. That was a tricky thing. Now, I will say the way you laid out the training, this is another thing we talked about, kind of like where should we put some of this long stuff? And, you know, we figured out, okay, here's the best day for that. And, you know, things came up, right? I had to travel, or early on, I remember I caught a cold and we were like, okay, we're going to make some adjustments, or we had to flip a swim and a bike. So that was great to have somebody that I could say, hey, if I move this here, what should I do? Because a couple of times you're like, yeah, let's absolutely do that. And then one time I think I had to move something significant and you were like, okay, let me just redo the week because of the way you had kind of planned recovery and things like that. So that was that, having someone do that for me was, you know, incredibly helpful. How'd I juggle it? You know, I guess all I can say is someone, you know, told me this, like, do what doing when you're doing it. So like when you're with your family, be with your family. Don't be thinking about work. Don't be thinking about training. When you're training, train, right? And just be done with it. When you're working, work. You know, just that whole, this process, and it's something I think a lot of people try to do is, you know, kind of stay present when they're doing things. So you're not distracted and not focused, but this kind of forced that on me because I didn't, you know, want to go train for 2-3 hours and then, you know, go spend time with the family and be, you know, thinking about work or training. It's like, I really tried to make it so, you know, whatever I was doing, I was going to be present doing it. And, you know, you find time to do stuff, right? If you have 3 things to do, you're going to do those 3 things in whatever time you have. If you have 2, you're probably going to do those 2 in whatever time you have. So, you know, if it's going to if it's impossible, it's impossible, right? You can't do everything. But you, if you've got a few hours a day that you can really have for training, you know, I think it's realistic to think you could, you know, and of course you got weekends to work out too. You could do this. But again, I think you just kind of, you got to make a decision that you're not going to, you know, one, skip stuff, two, kind of let things bleed into each other in a way that makes everything suck, because that's not really my goal in life. You know what I mean? You want to have fun and you know, but also make sure things are getting taken care of. So kind of a long way of saying, it's doable, but it's a challenge. So do it mindfully.
That's a go back and listen to section right there. I think you talked about, again, being mindful, being present, doing what you're doing, engaging. And you probably, I think, said earlier that, you know, you kind of waited till you were at a time in your life when this is a reasonable thing to do. And, you know, you definitely were always there for your family. They were very supportive. I mean, making that thing a win and not a stressor, that's important. And you know, I think that's just as important as all the things you did both in training and on race day. It's like, oh man, you know, I managed to not negatively impact my work or my family. And also the value of, you know, getting enough sleep, and sometimes an extra hour or two of sleep instead of a workout is the way to go. So thank you for, you know, reinforcing a lot of the pearls that I think we're all trying to remember. And this is a nice segue, because you said something that I've never entirely viewed this way, but you were talking about, okay, so we've got this, you know, this workout system, and we know, you know, we would look at like little tables or spreadsheets and say, okay, this training block, these are our major objectives. We're going to try to fit these in and, you know, roughly accomplish X, Y, Z. And in doing that, you know, eventually, and obviously didn't take too long, but, you know, we have this trust and this relationship where it's like, okay, you know, things are working, you know, that I've got your, you know, best interest in mind. And so you can sort of, now you don't have to worry about it, because I'm happy to worry about it. And so that's the removal of decision-making fatigue, that, which is, you know, it's a common term out there. And of course, everybody's talking about Steve Jobs and his mock t-shirt, but, or mock turtleneck, but, you know, but ultimately, yeah, that's really, I think, a critical thing, because when you've got all these objectives and going from where you were starting to get where you want to go, and you got to manage all this, you know, workouts and moving them around and the heart rate data. I see that now, which I, you know, I sort of sometimes live in a cloud, you know, but it's like, yeah, okay, great. That isn't that nice when, you know, you can have somebody not always telling you, but suggesting like, hey, you know, do this and things are going to work out well.
It's huge. Oh, I mean, I think it's absolutely huge. I mean, I could not have done this, without your help and without, you know, a coach like you. You know, I would get up and, like, you know, we were joking before, you know, the grinders and the power wad, but, you know, that's all I saw. You know, mm-hmm. I knew the day before, I'd say, okay, what's tomorrow? Grinders. And I'd, you know, see what that meant. But all I had to do then was, you know, probably get up, you know, put my watch on and my sneakers and go do that. Mm-hmm. I had to think about it. Didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to think like, am I getting enough zone 2 training? Am I getting enough zone 4 training? Like half the time I didn't even know, you know, in the beginning what I was doing or why I was doing it. Then I think we had a meeting. I was like, huh, I could see your evil genius here, right? Like stuff was starting to click. But, you know, to get back to your point, that is massive for someone who is busy to take that kind of thinking out of it. You need someone who you trust, who knows what they're doing, who's not going to get you hurt, and who's paying attention. And every time we got on the phone, you had, you know, looked at the data, you had comments on the data. And a lot of times you were like making these little tweaks to go, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we just did this and that was terrific. So we're going to, you know, do something else, or we're going to try this, you know, we're going to increase this or decrease that, whatever it was. But, you know, I just have to say it's you. I remember maybe a month before the Ironman, I was doing this 5.5 mile loop that I do around the house, part of one of the runs you were having me do. And, you know, I'm running like 10 minute miles, right? And I'm looking at my watch and because we had whatever we had done a couple of days before, like I probably couldn't have run them any faster, right? And I started laughing. I'm like, all right, I just got to trust that John knows what the hell he's doing, because I cannot run faster than 10 minute miles right now. And this is like ridiculous. But, you know, 2-3 weeks later, you start running and like you're running 8 minute miles and your heart rate's, you know, 12 beats lower than it was, you know, 3 months ago. So, I don't think you should underestimate as a coach how important that is to the athlete. It only works, and you said this, if one, the coach is good and the person trusts the coach, and there's that kind of, you know, relationship, and the coach is paying attention, obviously, because you can't be effective if you're not. So, you know, I had the trifecta with you, and it was, like I said, sometimes I'll be working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. And I had, you know, a little bit of an opportunity here where I was, you know, working, you know, less than that, but not a whole lot less. And, you know, I didn't have to think about this really. So tremendous, tremendous, a huge, huge part of the coaching process.
Wow. I mean, I there's not much else that I would ask or try to add to that. You know, you kind of summed up that relationship, that it is that, you know, it's a relationship and, you know, kind of working together and holding each other accountable, but also, you know, having some amount of flexibility, super important. And I think I should probably mention that, you know, keeping the element of fun and play mixed in with all the science stuff. And so not a lot of those key workouts were things like, okay, now, you're going to do 7 minutes and 30 seconds of warm up at zone one, and then you're going to do this. And, you know, sometimes a person likes to hear that, but how about let's call this the power walk, which would be like a combination of walking and jogging.
And that's a deceiving name right there.
Well, you know, there's so many tricks in all of our toolboxes, right? And so if you put power in front of anything, it sounds better.
It's true. But I thought that was going to be easy.
Yeah. But then when you start looking at it, it's like, oh, okay. So what were we trying to do with that workout? We were trying to get time on your legs, time on your feet, you know, and you're locomoting, you're out there. So it wasn't that critical that we say you got to run X pace and you don't get any breaks. So we had you do these kind of, you know, run and walk blocks. But by the time you got done, you had piled up, you know, almost like personal record level distance and time. So there's a way to sneak those things in so that the body as well as the spirit can accept them.
Yep.
So this has been great. I really appreciate your time. We'll get ready to wrap things up here and take it home. Just, you know, advice for the listeners. And so, you know, not everyone will, sometimes when I ask this question, people say, oh, I don't know if I feel qualified to be, you know, giving advice, but I would say, oh, absolutely you do, you know, just based on your own experiences. So, what would you say, just a couple quick things, when setting a goal, you know, any advice that you have on setting a goal, how does a person, how did you do it, or how might you recommend for someone else to do that?
So I guess I'd probably start with the person. So I think different people respond differently and need different things to kind of get stuff accomplished. I think there's those kind of people who are super intense and, man, they're going to like get that goal no matter what. You know, they will grind it out. And once they set their minds to it, they're going to get their workouts in. They're going to crank it out. You know what I mean? And for those people, you know, it's literally like just, you know, kind of mapping out the time you need, picking your race, and, you know, getting all your ducks in a row. So more like a structured planning thing. Eventually you're going to need the structured planning to reach it. But I think you said about like on setting a goal, I think for some other people, honestly, it's about probably slowing down a bit and, you know, kind of like paying attention a little bit to what you want, right? And sometimes when you slow down and you're not running around, you know, just constantly busy doing stuff, you're like, huh, you know, I kind of want to do this. And then like that kind of decision has its own power. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's in there now and you know, you want to do it. And then it's like, it kind of flows from that. And then you get into the planning and the timing and things like that. So, you know, I think I've done both in my life. And to me, the second one, as I get gray, is a whole lot more fun. And, you know, for me personally, it's actually a little bit more effective because it takes the kind of white knuckling out of it, right? It's a very, like, you're driven from something that's, you know, a little bit more you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think you kind of figure out who you are. And if you're the kind of person who is just, you know, relentless and you get your job done, then it's about planning. If you're the kind of person who is looking to, you know, take on something big that, and you're not that kind of, you know, super intense person, then I think it's honestly all about slowing down and figuring out really what you want to do. And then, you know, listening to yourself and like saying, okay, this is something I'd really like to do. How can I do it, right? Without screwing up my family time or my work time. But, you know, it's just a more, I don't know, it's a little bit slower. It's a little bit, but it's got power behind it too. So I don't know. Yeah, I think
I like that.
It's, you know what I mean? I don't know.
And I, you know, I kind of put you on the spot there, so I apologize for that. But, you know, I think what I heard you say is, you know, there are many paths to success. And if you can find the one that fits you best, you know, then, hey, it's probably more likely to be A, ultimately successful, and B, enjoyable. And a final thing, I think this theme has come out in this great conversation. But, you know, when you're evaluating your performance or reflecting, you know, what would you say, you know, how did you do that with yourself? And, you know, again, is there any tidbit of advice that you might offer up for someone else?
So I pay attention to, you know, the statistics, you know, like the numbers a little bit, but not overly. So for me, evaluating my performance is really more about how I feel, right? If I was going to run something that usually, you know, like a fast time for me in whatever race is like an hour. And at the end of that, you know, I did it in like an hour, but I felt really good and strong. I'm happy. You know, if I did it in, you know, 59 minutes, but felt terrible, I'm not interested in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'd love to do it in 55, but also feel good. Like, to me, this, you know, at my age and these sports, they're very enjoyable, and I don't want to make them unenjoyable. You know what I mean? So if I want to go out for a run and I'm not training for anything, and like, it's a beautiful day and I'm having a nice run, I'm good. I'm happy. So, you know, performance to me is about feel, and the whole triathlon experience and the running, whatever it is, it's about, you know, like, it's kind of how we approach the Ironman, which is, I want to finish this thing feeling strong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I know some people, you know, want to go to their limits, and feel what that feels like. And I like that too. Sometimes, like, for some of the training things we did that, it's nice to know and to like, feel like I can't, you know, your fingers are tingling, and you know what I mean? You're like, I was looking at some of the things you had, like, glycogen depletion run, you know, and like, I'm like, this is gonna hurt, and it did hurt, and I really liked it, but I don't want to do that every day,
right?
So you know, that's how I evaluate my performance. Like, as long as I'm, you know, in reasonable proximity to what I think is a good time and I feel good about it, I'm super happy.
Well, what a rich message of wisdom that is, because I think that, you know, the feeling, you know, healthy and strong and having a really positive life, additive to life experience, life-giving experience, it really, that's really what it's all about. It's what we're all here for, hopefully listening to this as well. And sure, you know, the markers, they matter some, but I think that priority that you clearly presented there makes a ton of sense to me. So
before we go, there is one more thing I wanted to say, and I was thinking about it before we did this.
Oh, and great.
It's triathlons can be expensive. You know what I mean? I didn't have a wetsuit. I got a new tri bike and got power pedals and all this, you know, power meter on the pedals. I will say I would in a heartbeat, you know, get rid of the power meter pedals, not get the tri bike, and frankly, not even have a wetsuit in order to have a good coach. The difference in my performance, you know, if you compared, like if I didn't have you to work with me since May, or I didn't have the new bike and the new power pedals, the power meter, it would be like, you know, I don't know, a handful of minutes without the tech gear. But without your help in the coaching and, you know, I mean, I saw my body just be transformed and my fitness level transformed from the coaching, you know, it would have been, I don't know if I would have finished. So, you know, as people think about like, where do you want to invest your time and money, especially if it's like you're a relative beginner to this, oh my God, find someone who can help you along that you like and knows what they're doing. Because, you know, to me, you know, like I said, buying a bike, you know, that's not cheap stuff, but I would easily give it up if I had to choose between that and the coaching. So.
Wow. Those are great, kind words, Clem. And thank you so much. And so thanks for being on the show and sharing your experiences with us and listeners. Thanks for being here today. And my only message in signing off is, hey, be inspired. Wow. What a great show. And not only is Clem an amazing athlete, he's just an incredible human being. So my hat's off to him, and thank you, Clem, for sharing your experiences with us. And also to the audience, hey, thank you guys for being with us here today. And if you really are enjoying the content, please take a moment to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show. And it's much appreciated, and it really does help us climb that ladder and get this message out to more folks. And also, if you have interest in any of the services that are available at the Lifetime Body, please, by all means, check out thelifetimebody.com, where you can have access to a number of great resources, including these coaching services. So thanks again, and I'll see you next time.